Okay. Hour two. Republic of Texas Radio, Sunday, March the 1st, and 2020. Real quick, before we get back to Dave in New York, I want to remind you all, folks, or maybe I'll just remind myself, 1999, Y2K was going to kill us. 2001, anthrax is going to kill us. 2002, the West Nile virus was going to kill us. 2003, SARS was going to kill us. 2005, the bird flu is going to kill us. 2006, E. coli is going to kill us. 2008, the bad economy is going to kill us. The swine flu is going to kill us in 2009. BP oil spill in 2010. Obamacare, well, maybe that is killing us. You know, and then the end of the world was in 2020 or 2012. Right. Well, in 2013, North Korea was going to kill us. In 2014, Ebola was going to kill us again. 2015, Disney, measles, and ISIS were going to kill us. Hey, Zika was going to kill us in 2016. Fake news in 2017. Measles in 19. Now we got the beer flu. Welcome to the world. It's really hard, Dave, to kind of like take that seriously. And that's kind of like when I first heard about the beer flu, the coronavirus, you know, I didn't have all those words that I just spouted off, but that's what I felt in me, right? You know, it's kind of like, really? Hey, do you understand?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting reaction, yeah. But I think that sometimes we're dulled down by all these things that didn't happen. I mean, even like the Y2K thing, some family members were talking about it, and I said, oh, really? Oh, okay. I didn't even think about that. Let me go get some water and some food a little bit, you know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I hardly did anything and didn't even expect anything, and that's exactly what happened. One thing for sure, life is going to kill us. That's true all the time. And that's the largest cause of death in the world. but I think
except for nowadays, Dave. You know, nowadays that they do, they're doing human head transplants, and who knows what kind of a life extending technology they actually have. You know, so does everyone actually eventually die? That's a good question.
Well, Enoch was translated, I guess, but you got lucky. China, I think the point of the smog and conditions there being somehow worse are very relevant. But we've had people here eating bad food for many years and getting diabetes at young ages. And the people that die mostly from this flu are 70 and up in China based on their data. And I think the profile might be a little different here. But let's hope that maybe the China-wide 0.7% rate of death might be more accurate for the U.S. That gives us maybe a little bit of hope, because if it's what it was over there in Wuhan, that's 5% is a lot of people to lose. The normal flu here kills less than a tenth of a percent most years of the people who are infected. But I do think that the extreme actions that were taken in China, the apparent extreme data of death over there, does scare the whole world, and that sets a very strong stage for medical martial law here, and extreme measures by our standards, and that's what your point was, I think.
This is going to allow the crackdown. You know, the more of the oppression. You know, telling us what we can and can't do. You know, you have to stay quarantined. You can't go to work. You can't do this. You know, if you can't go to work, you can't make your paycheck. Does that mean that they're going to stop your landlord from requiring you to pay your rent, because so many people are living paycheck to paycheck? How are all these people going to make it if they have to stay quarantined and can't go to work and can't live? Does that mean that the government's going to, you know, make the power companies not charge you for you know, that time that you can't work because you're mandatorily, you know, quarantined? I mean, what consequences will this bring about? You know, is this just total chaos?
Right.
Which allows them more,
right.
They have fun with chaos.
Yeah, and yeah. If you do listen to Mike Adams, he says, look at what is all going to happen with the supply chain and everything. So he's really analyzed things well. If you listen to him, just don't necessarily get too scared by what he says, I guess.
I really don't know how to take my...
Like most of the people that I've heard that are dying from this are those who are basically, you know, somehow compromised. Like you said, you know, the older people, you know, and this is more of a pulmonary, you know, a lung infection type thing. And like you said, you know, the atmosphere over there, what they're breathing constantly, they are, you know, probably immune suppressed, you know, to some degree.
Yeah.
And the older people would be more susceptible to it.
Well, I mean, imagine, I got 2 points. Imagine that the tenth of a percent death rate here goes to 2% for infectees. That's going to mean we're going to have to quarantine some people because these hospitals are going to get overloaded with patients, and then you can't treat people. That's a very big problem.
Yeah, and
who
will they be selectively quarantining? Will they be able to quarantine brown people or black people? Because that would almost be racist. You know, I mean, it gets to the point of ridiculous. You know what's going on in this world? You know, who knows what they're going to pull on us? They try so many things. And just, well, like I said, folks, do what you can. Just take your normal precautions as well as you can. Try to stay out of large areas, you know, large groups of people, you know, especially people that are coughing, sniffling, whatever. But, you know, other than that, there's not a heck of a lot you can do until we actually know what's going on.
Right, and they're supposed to be getting kits out and making measurements, I guess, this week. So they'll start releasing information. It'll probably be like very much of a lag to the information. I'm going to tell you what I saw on WebMD, and it's very interesting. WebMD, I look down the page, it says 5 to 20% is the percentage of U.S. population that will get the flu on average each year. Well, that's 15 to 60 million people. 15 to 60 million people will get it. You go down the page and they say 162 million to 169 million. Number of flu vaccine doses expected to be available in the U.S. for this flu season. What? No wonder they're trying to sell this stuff. They're not getting enough buyers.
Like I said, it'd be interesting to know who is invested in the N95 mask companies and the hand sanitizer companies, because that stuff's just, I mean, it's off the shelves. It's gone. Their inventory's gone. I mean, they're making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very for interesting.
So,
hey, thanks for
taking it serious.
Man.
It could
really
get
appreciated.
Thank you.
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
No, he was saying, you know, just you know, we're joking about it, but you know, it could be serious. It couldn't be serious until we know. You know, like I said, they pulled this crap so many times on us. Yeah, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to joke, and I'm going to be kind of snide about it until it actually happens. Like I said, I'm not saying it's 100% you know, false. You know, it's like everything in my life, Steve. I've said there are very few definites at all in my life, you know, since I've become aware of what's going on, because we've been lied to so much. It's just to the point of ridiculous. So I believe nothing until it actually happens and I can prove it to myself.
Okay, well, I just don't like the numbers, right? You know, when we sit there and try to calculate the percentage of the population of China and the number of people that have died over there, then we can't even quantify the fact that they died of the coronavirus, because they have been, well, less than forthcoming on that kind of information. And it's fluctuated, and I know they pointed at that, and I'm pointing at that, and then you sit there and take their numbers and you divide them up, and you go, wow, ain't nobody dying.
And once
here in the United States.
China's population, if you say 1.5 billion, I think I've heard 1.7 billion, you know, somewhere in that range. We'll stick with 1.5 billion people. If they had a 1% just infection rate, just a 1% infection rate, not a death rate, that would be 15 million people. You know, I just don't see the numbers.
Yeah, and I don't see the numbers here in the United States as well. But again, why were they not testing in the United States for, well, the coronavirus, right? The one case that's over there in Sonoma County in California, you know, the lady had been sick for 4 days, and the hospital allegedly was asking the CDC, at least this is one story that I got, they're asking the CDC, hey, test this one. Nope, 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 okay, you got one. Hey, who was she in contact with? Well, let's see, everybody. She was sitting there, you know, we asked you. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
How about this correlation, Steve? Like, let me see. Sonoma is where this case was, right? Sonoma, let me see, that's wine country. So now I'm getting a little more scared because what are we here now?
Solano, it's Solano. It's down the waves a little bit.
Okay.
I get those mixed up. You know, but anyways, it's a pretty affluent kind of area. Well, most of California, I'm not going to even say most of or anything like that. But anyway, so we have the first person in California that's sitting there, didn't go to China, right? Before I get too far off, I wanted to, Ken was saying just a second ago, you know, it's actually about 5 minutes ago that, you know, and I never heard this, and I'd never heard that there was a big protest going on in Wuhan and Hong Kong just before the whole start of this episode, right? Protests against new trash incinerators that they were going to build, which would have made their air quality even worse than it was. So that's interesting. If that's true, right? You turn on the incinerators and everybody gets sick, right? And then they call bird, swine flu, corona flu, beer flu, right? And, Are they covering up for some other kind of thing? And they had an ancillary thing called the coronavirus. But we didn't seem to take it very seriously, or the CDC didn't seem to take it very seriously as they decided not to test people. And yes, if those test kits are out there and they actually work, and they're going to start bringing forth people that have been infected next week, the following 2 weeks, and, you know, come on, man.
You know, and Steve, you know,
to 30 days to show symptoms, you know, really?
And they might not even show symptoms.
You
know, they can be infected and not show symptoms. And, well, Steve, what about this? Maybe, you know, this time the Chinese people started getting uppity, maybe they figured out that, well, it might be better if we don't use tanks to run over people in Tiananmen Square this time. This time we'll stop the protests with flu. There we go. Yeah, that's great. It won't make us look like bad guys. Who knows? But they stopped the protest, didn't they?
Yeah, well, Ken's telling me that 16,000 died in the U.S. from the regular flu from 2019 to 2020. You know, nobody cares.
Most of those people are immune compromised, I would bet.
I was wondering if falling off the roof is, well, more deadly than the Wuhan virus last night. And I did a quick search and I found, I don't know. Only one person died that I could find reported that had fallen off the roof. Perhaps that's not just, like, newsworthy.
Well, that's because they started putting up nets on all those tall buildings to keep their employees from jumping off and committing suicide because they love their work so much.
No, I'm talking about the United States roofing job.
Oh, okay.
You know, here's in there working and falling, and, you know, it's about the children. Whoop, there he goes. There's Daddy. He's broken. He's out of here. You know, things will kill you in this world. But again, so the earlier part of the show, I was trying to do the lineage on the Wuhan virus, right? We've got up to the point where, you know, it's, it's been handed off. You know, right now, Mike Adams and Alex Jones are not the lone guy sitting in the woods going, dang, fear, doom, you're going to die. You know, they're not the only ones. It has morphed onto the mainstream, right? And the politicians just got involved, right? And they're saying, oh, my God, it's the Trump virus. And Trump did it. And everything that's wrong in the world is Trump's fault. Oh, God, really? Didn't we just hear that song? Are you plagiarizing that song? Tell me, okay, again, what did Trump do? And then they go, oh, it's all his fault. Orange man bad and all that other stuff, right? So Rush Limbaugh joined in, right? You know, I heard last week, Alan, you know, on the Rush Limbaugh show, a guy called in and started talking about the Wuhan thing. and that he said that he found an article that said, and I think he was pointing to the article that said that that zero cases have been tested. And that might have been a breakthrough, right? That was last Tuesday. Might not. Might have just been part of the play's progression, too. But the caller called in, and then he used the name Mike Adams. I might think that I said the name wrong. And that he was a researcher, and yes, he is, a health ranger. And he has a site, and the caller talked about pandemic.news, right? So this is a new site that Mike Adams and Alex Jones and all them, they set up this stuff post-Alex getting kicked off of a lot of platforms, the deplatforming of Alex Jones, however that worked out. Pandemic.news. So he tells Rush, yeah, he says that nobody's testing any of these people. And Rush goes, Mike Adams, I don't know that name, and I can't comment on anybody that I do not know, or something like that. And I'm like, huh, wow, interesting. I don't know what that means. And then seems like all of a sudden we had Rush Limbo talking about the coronavirus, right? So it's skipped channels, I guess, is what I'm trying to talk about. It came from Alex Jones and Mike Adams to Rush Limbo, and now it's all out there. You know, how many times has President Trump? How many times has he actually gotten up on stage and said, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. I think the number is 4 in 4 days. Every day he has a little bit of a press conference and he talks beer flu and how everything's great and it's being handled fantastic. Well, I don't know that.
You know, if Rush Limbaugh said it, Steve, then we've got to believe it because he's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. So he's got to be omnipotent, right?
Man, I think I'm going to give you an award. What kind do we get? Oh, Peace Prize. How about Alan? We'll give you one of those peace prizes that Barack Obama got.
Piece of what?
I don't know. It's all stupid, and we're all going to die eventually.
It's all a play. It's all a show, folks. I mean, at the State of the Union, I just loved it when old Guido was in the audience there. Obama. I have trouble with the two of them. I thought when they first panned over to him, I thought Obama was in there and Trump was going to honor Obama, and then damn it turned out to be Guido. It looks so much alike. Yeah. It confuses me.
They sure do. You know, it's a crazy thing. Don't they? But none of them look like the Thai guy. You know, it's all a distraction also for the chaos that is the race for the presidency. Is there a race? You know, I'm not too sure. I thought I had that whole thing nailed, and, you know, I probably do.
Steve, I just thought of something. All these athletes that run track and everything, they call them running races. Would that make all these track and field athletes racists?
They are racist.
Damn.
They run races. Yeah.
Someone else person.
Let me. I had this thought, you know, about the presidency last night, and it kind of, I wanted to know who Bernie was going to pick. And, man, the first thing that came to mind is Beto O'Rourke. Wouldn't that be fun? We could pair Beto up with, you know, what is his name? Robert Francis O'Rourke. We'll pair him up with Bernie, and we'll sell him to the United States as the green superheroes of socialism.
I was just getting comfortable with hearing that name, Steve. I was hoping I'd never have to hear that name again.
Hey, all things come around, Alan. Just hang in there. We'll be right back. We'll say the name again. Robert Francis O'Rourke, Republic of Texas Radio.
Yeah. Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back, Republic of Texas Radio. Thinking about going on to the other stories that are important today, like the Isles of Lesbos and all the people that are trying to traverse Turkey and, get into Greece so they can get all over every place else because they don't want to be where they were. And I understand that, you know, where they were is being torn up. But, you know, now we have the Trump just signed a deal with ISIS. No, it was the Taliban, silly. It wasn't ISIS. But, hey, there's something similar between the two. We've paid for guns for both parties. We've shot both parties. We've restocked them. We've resupplied them and hell, they've been our friends for a long time, but we just shoot at them. What were you saying?
Speaking of borders real quick, Steve, I heard Trump say just a couple of days ago or something that, you know, something about like 28,000 Mexican troops guarding our southern border, and he said he thought that was just great. It's like, how come Mexican troops can guard our southern border, but our troops can't? You know, it's just one of these weird things that no one ever seems to think about, but, well, don't you feel safe now? We're not going to have all them people coming across. We got the Mexican troops down there guarding our border now. And it's like, you know, with Erdogan. Yeah. Something pissed Erdogan off, and, you know, he's a member of NATO and all this stuff. yet he's all ticked off supposedly now, and he's letting the borders open, and there's a flood of Muslims coming across into Turkey, into Greece and everything again. And another one of these things, kind of like Guantanamo on Cuba, you know, our deadly enemy Cuba that we've had a military base on for decades. You know, we've got a nuclear missile base, you know, in Turkey. So if they're our deadly enemy and we're all, you know, enemies again now, why do we still have a military base with nuclear missiles on it, right, sitting right in the middle of Turkey? It's just one of those things that
played, confuses. I think we're being played. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, are you there? I think we're being played.
It's the best money enemy can buy. That's like a slogan. Yeah, and what's her name? Brad Birkenfield. Even Oliver Stone, he does this movie. Everything's damage control. Oliver Stone does this movie. I'm hearing another voice in the background.
Yeah. That's
anyway.
Malfunction on my side of the house. Go ahead.
Okay. Could be. Anyway, I tried to dial you guys. I had to dial twice. I dial the number, you know, get a dial tone, dial the number, and just go silent for like 30 seconds. And I'm like, well. but that's part of my fun phone shenanigans here.
Mike, you said you were dialing a number. You know, I actually was out at my uncle's place a while back fixing something, and I was trying to call my aunt to let her know that I'd found the problem. And the only phone that would work was an actual old dial phone, but I couldn't dial into town. I had to call the operator and have her connect me up because apparently the dial system doesn't actually work going into the town's phone banks anymore.
Okay. The other method, though, to try that to make sure the pulse tone, it's a pulse system is what they call it. And there used to be, when I was growing up, there were still payphones around that you could break the dial tone by flipping the hook. And then somebody showed me a hacker that you can mimic the pulse by doing that. In other words, like if your exchange, your local exchange, you don't need the area code, you can dial a 1 if you needed it, but it would only work on local calls because local calls just required a quarter. But so you
anyway,
could sit there and
drag off there.
Well, that's okay. This is an emergency thing. People need to know. So if you plug into a phone line and you can get a dial tone, you can mimic a local phone number. You can dial 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9, pause, 1, pause, 1, and you've got 911. So that's something, you know, it's something worth knowing because there's a lot of legacy systems that they've grandfathered in this pulse system. You go buy a clamshell phone right now for your home emergency survival kit or just to have on hand if the power goes out. You know, your cordless phone doesn't work, and maybe something's going on. You have no cell phone signal where I live. With cell phone signal is very sketchy when the leaves comes back on a tree. So we have a clamshell phone. We can plug in, and by FCC legacy regulations, the traditional wired phone companies have to maintain, I think it's a 72-hour battery bank at the central offices. So you plug that phone in. And you can use a lot of these clamshell phones that have a switch on them for pulse or touch tone. So you can try it out.
Like, listen to this. You mean like this?
Yeah, sort of like that, but not that fast. It's not that fast. That whatever you've got there is going way too fast. It's much more like the old rotary dials.
Yeah.
But you have to pause when you use the receiver. Huh?
I've got an AT&T 100 here, and I can flip the switch, and it'll do either tone or dial pulse.
Right. So, I mean, it's a useful piece of knowledge that most of the younger people don't have any clue about, and they might need to dial 911 and can't because they ain't got a clue. I recently gave a preacher man a ride because his van had broke down in the middle of the night at the top of a hill. It overheated on him, and when I took him up the street, there was no cell phone signal. I took him out the ridge, and he picked up the phone and says, "Now, what do I do now? Do I have to dial the 1, or do I need the area code, right?" He had used a cell phone for so many years, he forgot how to use a regular old plug-it-in-the-wall phone.
Yep.
I heard some older guys last year talking over. Well, as I walked by, they know I'm. I don't know if my presence in this community, you know, people know about phones because of me, the phone issues. and all this domestic spying from Snowden, and that brings me back to what I started to talk about. But these two older men were talking amongst themselves as I walked by. I didn't know anybody still had a landline, real derogatory-like. I can't believe anybody still has a landline. And, you know, it's like it's become this shunning, a social shunning that still have a landline.
And they don't.
But I tell you what,
I was in Harbor Freight the other day, and you know, got up to register, and they want your phone number. And I told the guy, I said, just make one up. And he stood there for a second, and he goes, I can't think of any. And I said, 999-9999.
Well, or any,
they don't remember anything because it's all in their smartphone. They just have to, you know, hit the screen and touch a button and call Jim.
Well, you could tell them something like 782-0000, and I didn't realize that was actually a number. I think it used to be reserved, but now people can have that as a number in any exchange, all zeros. And then if they don't, yeah, they act like they don't believe you, you can say, are you calling me a liar? Should I call my lawyer?
You hurt my feelings. Anyway, on with what you were talking about, you called for.
I'm not exactly sure now. But, yeah, when I tried to call you guys, the phone went dead. But I was there was something to do. It's a wonderful technocratic Brazil-like world we live in, where you never know when something's going to work or not. So you have to have all these backup plans and almost be a hacker.
We have great duct work nowadays. Our ducts are very nice.
Oh, yeah, the ducks are all in a row. And as long as the guy swings in on a rope and saves your butt, you know, because otherwise you're going to have to fill out all these forms to get your heating fixed, you know. You know exactly the movie, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah, so I saw a movie that I think was inspired by Brazil the other day. It was pretty dang funny. That's what I think it was anyway. It was the L.A. Story with Steve Martin. Have you ever seen that, where the billboard talks to him?
Yeah.
And all the characters are all... when I watched that, it had been years since I'd seen it, and I watched it the other day, and I'm like, this is... they copied the concept of Brazil. They just put it in this Los Angeles, you know? It's all these zany characters that are dysfunctional and just impractical. And anyway, it's kind of a weird supernatural occurrence with the billboards that brings him together with the love of his life. But no, you were talking about coronavirus, and what I was going to mention is, and you were talking about Al Qaeda, and that brings me back to what I was going to talk about. Oliver Stone and Snowden, I think, you know, we have to suspect everything in this topsy-turvy psychological operation world. And the Snowden movie, to me, the dead giveaway is that he converts the banker for dramatic purposes for some stupid reason. He converts the banker in the story to a Pakistani. The banker in that story, according to Scott Bennett and some other guys that are whistleblowers, they say that was Brad Birkenfeld. Brad Birkenfeld used 19,000 Swiss bank accounts to launder money that was supposed to go to, like, the Free Syrian Army and some others there in Kurdistan to fight the Taliban and fight Al-Qaeda or whatever the heck they're known as, ISIS, ISIL, and all that. So this money was supposed to go from NATO coalition of the killing, or whatever you want to call them. They were supposed to go to help fight, you know, free Syria and free the Kurds and fight, you know, and that sort of stuff. Instead, it got laundered and sent to basically Al-Qaeda mercenaries. They staged this fake thing in Qatar to make it look like they were having this green revolution in Libya. And they used that money and a lot of the NATO munitions and stuff that was supposed to go over, you know, on the other side of the Mediterranean, went to Libya and decapitated that tribal government. And Jim and Joanne Moriarty, you should try to interview them. At least Joanne, she's the... Jim and her both are a good interview, but if you can get one or the other. They were stuck. They got trapped in country. And the tribal government loved them because... If you remember the Corexit scandal down there in the Gulf of Mexico, the Deepwater Horizon, what's his name? Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner was trying to sell everybody on this idea, and the news media just kind of trashed the idea of using genetically modified bacteria to drop the to make the corrosant, or instead of corrosant, which is very toxic to wildlife and everything else, I guess. But he was trying to sell everybody on this idea. Well, again, the news media sin by omission. They're not talking about directly using genetically modified bacteria and release them to the environment. What Jim and Joanne's, mainly Jim's company, did was they used a genetically modified bacteria to create an enzyme, and then they do a medical-grade kill of all of the bacteria, so you're just left with the enzyme. And you can use that to clean up chicken fat spills at the Tyson, industrialized chicken facility.
Or you can inject them,
You can inject it down into old formations, like oil formations, and the enzyme breaks apart the sludge, and you've got your productivity back up in your existing oil fields, where the productivity has fallen off. You can clean up, all manner of petroleum oil spills with this stuff. So they got caught behind country. I have to wonder if it's not, in country in Libya when this revolution happened. So she's a bit of a photographer and a little bit of a computer expert. She smuggled out a thumb drive around her neck with, 200 megabytes of photographs. It shows these NATO munitions laying where they bombed these tribal leaders. It shows mass graves of black people. And Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson never got in front of a camera talking about that, did they? But Oliver Stone, for whatever reason, changed that banker in the Snowden movie to a Pakistani composite character or some crap. And so even when they do tell us this stuff, and Oliver Stone probably made a little bit of money on it, he might have been a loser. When I went to see it in the theater, it was like 25, 30 people there, and some I couldn't tell if it was grandma and grandpa or an older parent. A set of parents had brought their teenager there with their smartphone, and as the movie's starting, the kid's still zipping and zapping and tipping and tapping on the smartphone, and like, come on, put your phone up. At the end of the movie, they were dead asleep, and they could not get this child to wake up. And as the movie broke up and walked out, I was in a town 70 miles away. I didn't care. I just said, hey, hero or traitor? And the only people that would respond to me, of those couple of dozen people, all said hero. The rest of them just walked past me and would not even respond to me and pretend I didn't say anything. So, we've got a similar thing. I mean, after that movie was out, I'm at a Dollywood. I got drug on a family vacation to Dollywood, if you know about that amusement park. Mm-hmm. And we're stuck in lines, the temporary hold up in the roller coasters, and throughout the whole day, we were there on a senior day, several high schools were there. So there's all these kids texting back and forth while they're standing in line, rather than talking to the people next to them. But they're standing in line with their friends, and they're all sucked into their phones, and the ride attendants, some of them are older, start really getting ticked off, and they're like, move the line along, come on, because there's like 40 feet between them and the guy in front of them, slicking line up to the next car. Yeah, they're like zombies. So I started striking up conversations with some of them. I figured out a couple of the boys was Christian, and they were talking about binge-watching this or that. And I said, have you ever seen the movie Snowden? No, who's that? Ed Snowden, you don't know. Do you know Jim Caviezel? And I said, have you ever seen the movie Passion of Christ? And they're like, oh, yeah, we watched that at church or something, And I said, well, the guy that played Christ in The Passion of Christ, he's in this TV series called Person of Interest. You should binge watch that instead of this mindless pablum of whatever it was they said they were watching, Game of Thrones or something. Watch that and contemplate that all throughout that TV series, the stuff that's incorporated into the plots of those shows was coming out in the news at that time. I mean, I was covering it here on the local news lines that I do. On our kind of cable access station, but that's what I mean. They had no clue who the guy was, Jim Caviezel, and no clue that their phones were spying on them. They had no clue who Ed Snowden was. I mean, it was just.
And you're going to bring this back around to beer hell here, Mike.
Fluoride is commonly used as pesticides across the agricultural world, and so it's very easy for us to get too much fluoride in our diet, you know. So think about that, the Raisin Bran. What is that doing to us, you know? And grandma's hip fractures, you know. Anyway, no, you said beer. I didn't think about beer being a part of the conversation.
Flu. I'm talking about the beer flu.
Oh, the beer flu. The beer flu.
I don't know. I can bring it around to the beer flu. Last week, the CDC got a whistleblower, and that's kind of like what we were just talking about. You know, Snowden was a whistleblower, and that revolves around WikiLeaks. And everybody's fascinated by whistleblowers, or at least not everybody. Just
not a lot of people.
Media, you know, but it's funny when they come out with, oh, look, a whistleblower said that the CDC people, blah, 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 they didn't wipe their noses or cross their teeth. Like, wow. And meanwhile, you got... The real stuff came out, like, as you say, Snowden stuff was incredible. Right? You know, if you find out how much the government's doing and he has the ability to do, if it's so inclined, it's very scary. That movie, I got to say, is one of the scariest horror movies that I've ever seen.
Snowden?
And I thought I was on top of it. Yeah. You know,
he just barely scratches the ice, you know, he barely touches on stuff,
sure.
And it goes by so quick, like the keywords X key score being under 702 authority, and FISA court's just a rubber stamp, the nerd in the basement spying in on the girl's laptop while she's getting undressed. This is just barely scratching the surface. What is never mentioned by William Binney or Ed Snowden in these issues? There's one big elephant in the room that's never mentioned. Hardly at all. Now, one time I've caught William Binney on tape on a video mentioning that the software that became branded as NARIS devices was given to Israel. They turned around and sold it back to the NSA via the front company, Boeing. Mm-hmm. So that's the big stinky elephant in the room, is that Israel is up in every bit of the data paths and the packets of information that's going around. So they have the best access to blackmail and extortion and insider trading.
I mean, they do all the billing for the cell phones, all the phone systems, everything. It goes through Israel and back to us. You know, yeah. It's why is all of our intelligence going to Israel first?
13 different countries are involved in that, besides the Anglo-American Empire, and then you got the public-private partnerships of the public-private partnerships of the fusion centers. Now, just last week, it came out that AT&T.
Does this not all go back to the Promise software, basically at its core? You know what? I didn't know what Binney developed.
Well, there's a company that developed a bunch of software to fix the AT&T POP3 mail server back in the mid-1990s, and there's this $1 trillion lawsuit that keeps getting thrown out of court. They keep putting it back in somehow. But the code that they developed to fix that POP3 mail server is a core code that was used to develop AT&T's Hancock software, which is also... a foundation for Facebook and other social media, because it links, and it just like is depicted in the Snowden movie, in the basement there, they show a screen that graphically displays the interactions between the target and the people around them. And that's how they pick this banker's daughter as a target, because, you know, they look at her interactions and find out that she's got a boyfriend that's cheating on her. And they leverage that. She ends up attempting suicide, and that is depicted as the reason that Snowden lost enthusiasm for working for the CIA in that movie. Now, how much of that is true? Supposedly Brad Birkenfeld is the one that they tried to get on a drunk driving charge in order to set him up for a drunk driving arrest to try to turn him to work for them. But now, why in the heck Oliver Stone would cover that up? I mean, the movie was, I knew it probably wouldn't be very successful in the theaters, and it wasn't. It was gone in like 3 weeks, I mean, or less. So, I mean, now you probably have to, you know, pay $2.99 to watch it on Amazon Prime or something, I don't know. But it's not a very easy movie to find, just like that Sean Connery movie, Wrong is Right. I had to special order that on DVD. Echelon Conspiracy. Another movie.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this real quick. We know that basically everything, you know, they've got the keystroke logging and all this stuff. You know, it doesn't even matter if you send an email. If you keystroke it on your computer, you know, it's recorded and it's sent and it's collected and it's somewhere. Everything that computerized electronic is being collected and stored and correlated somewhere. You know, and all these people they will say, well, there's good parts too. You know, it's we wouldn't be able to be doing this if we didn't have this. And it's like, okay, but the good is still evil. So is the good really good if it's actually still evil? It's kind of like voting for the lesser of two evils. You know,
well, you just set me up for the
evil, but it's still evil.
The story that was in the news this week was that all of this program they spent $100 million on from 2015 to 2019. They spent $100 million. No arrests. They had one investigation, but no arrest. Now, in that story that was out this week, AT&T was supposedly accidentally sending information to the NSA that they didn't have the authority to collect. And last summer, about a year ago, they said they were going to delete all those files. Well, I started trying to alert everybody. I said, look, we need to stop them from deleting these files. Not only is it evidence of their over-collecting, but they're deleting information on Hillary, you know, on a criminal evidence where she tried to smash her BlackBerries to destroy that information. But your encryption is a joke. As soon as you decrypt something, they've got the message from your screen as a peripheral. So all they have to do is copy the information that's being displayed on your screen. I mean, I know a hillbilly that had a flea market booth that was doing that in 1997 on dial-up. So, I mean, this goes way back to the 90s, way before they gave everybody retroactive immunity. I mean, that's a perfect example.
They would not
give
us the technology if they can't control it somehow. They wouldn't allow us to have it.
They wouldn't allow us to have it. But the story that is out about this week on AT&T and $100 million, William Binney in 1997 or something was asked to create something to do this, and he called it Thin Thread. His budget that he said he could do it with was $325 million, and that wasn't enough for them. He made his proposals and all the costs and everything and sent it on up the line, and they said, well, wait a minute, what can you do for $1.2 billion? And so that's when he started to realize it's all about building empire and taking care of these corporate welfare cows that are on the government teat. And, you know, it's just keep the problem going so you can keep the money flowing. They're not going to solve anything. Here it is 20 years later, and they spent $100 million, which is not a real figure. That's a lie. They spent a lot more than $100 million. It's probably in the billions, maybe even hundreds of billions that they've spent on this between whatever, Bluffdale and San Antonio and
total
whatever the
information awareness.
Yeah, and I think that's what made me a target, was talking about the Total Information Awareness Program. After I realized what was going on here at the studio, because I was getting hot microphones locking up our fax line in 1997 from phones all over this country. And you can't get a damn reporter to do anything about it 20 years ago. And, I mean, I've got several stories where it points directly to how controlled our media is, or how chicken bleep most of the reporters are. They want to just chase ambulances and read press releases. So we don't have a true adversarial free press in this country. The one possible exception was, what's his name, Shepard on Fox News mentioned that, oh, maybe the microphones are on these things, and you don't know it when you think it's off. He mentioned it one time. And then I think there's one, Daniel Estelin, the Pentagon Papers whistleblower, mentioned it one time in an interview with William Binney at a restaurant. And William Binney says, yeah, sure, it can be on at any time. You don't know. And then they leave that topic and go on. You know, they don't really talk about what the significance of that is. If
right.
you want
to
market,
you have to be aware enough to catch all those little nuances. You know, they do let information out, but you've got to be sharp enough to be able to figure out, wow, did he really just say that? You know, yeah.
I've probably watched 50 hours of interviews with William Binney and, I don't know, 20 hours with Ed Snowden. They both only mention Israel as a ghost in a machine once out of all that time. Anyway, I'll let you guys go. There's a lot of dang implications there for catching you when you're acting candidly, because that's the best information is when you're acting candidly and forget you're being spied on.
That's where the juicy
and marketing people know that. Yeah.
Yep.
Talk to you guys later, man.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how far we've come since the early 2000s and, you know, domestic spying and, you know, spy accoutrement, if you want to say it. We've got the sling system. It's going to be amazing how that thing plays out. Not the sling, the Ring doorbell. I mean, that one gets made where you buy the surveillance product.
Yeah, your privacy because someone else has a damn Ring doorbell. And they can see every time you drive up and down the street, they know your license number. My cousin down here, down the road from me, has one of the damn things, and she can. And when something goes along the road, it notifies her, and she knows whatever goes along the road. It just pisses me off.
Okay, well, short segment coming up. End of the show. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about Beep, Republic of Texas Radio.
When your doctor tells you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
The end. The end, my friend. Well, there's a psyop for you. Who are they called? The Doors? You know, old Jim Morrison.
His father was an admiral.
Oh, yeah.
He's an admiral. Naval intelligence.
Okay. Well, I guess we've gone all over the place. You guys sure did spend a lot of time on Snowden. That was interesting. I'm still not too sure that, you know, the last few I don't think that they're logging every single keystroke. I really think that that's an over-exaggerated, you know, point. And there are some points that I'd want to argue in that whole thing. But, you know, the surveillance is really deep. You know, they're probably the most nefarious system out there right now is the Ring doorbell system. You know, just the way that it works.
You know, Steve, I did just see a report where the U.S. court sides with Google and Facebook on their invasion of privacy cases that were brought against them. They said, no, y'all are doing just fine. Go ahead. So, you know, yeah, is justice in the system? Not.
Well, we're going to have to see as time goes by. We'll see if we die from the coronavirus. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. A panic? Yeah, I think that there's going to be a panic. And I think the stock market's going to do what the stock market does. And but we'll see. You know, it could all be done next week, the following week, and then we can revisit it next year in 2021 when we find out how Trump actually started the coronavirus, you know, which is quite fascinating.
Or like Ken said, they'll bring it back to the Russians.
Oh, is it the Russians that created the coronavirus? I don't know. There's so much going on in this world. But the one thing true, what is the one thing true? Is there anything true? Do you know of anything?
I know one thing true is that we're just doing our best to try to get as much of what we can figure out as the truth out there as we can. You know, we might sound like we're just babbling at times, but, you know, that's because it is a confusing world out there, and we're just trying to sift through it as much as we can with y'all.
Yeah. I guess that's what it's for, straightening out our own thoughts and sharing, you know, what's going on. I know the coronavirus one, it's filled with so much fear, and you're going, let's bring it back to logic. And then when you go back to what you know about it, what you know about what's happening in well, that you don't know anything that's going on in China. And you're supposed to do some math to figure out how deadly this is going on. And you don't know what's going on in the United States. And you do know that they're not testing and they don't care. Right? Well, I don't know that they don't care, but they're not testing. And why? Right? Is anybody asking that question? No, we've got a case. Even here in San Antonio. Well, I'm not in San Antonio, but closest to us, we just went up overnight 11 cases from 10. That's one more.
How did that get here? They flew some of those damn people off the cruise ship over here.
Crazy importing viruses. Yeah, whatever. Until next week, folks, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. Bye.
Mine stay real.
Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.